You're listening to another edition of the Block Report with the Minister of Information, JR. Today, our guest is Candace Elder. She is the founder and the executive director of the East Oakland Collective. How are you, Candace?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on today.
Yes, sir.
So what made me want to bring you on today is there's been a lot of talk about stores closing down and the local economy collapsing. And one of the things that bothered me in particular is the fact that people are believing what the mainstream media is saying, and they're blaming it on the bippers and the people that are breaking into cars. Can you talk a little bit about the work that you do and also tell us how you see the economy and why you see it collapsing, and, you know, as an expert that works with a lot of unhoused people?
Yes, indeed. Thanks for having me on, especially to address this such important topic that is going on in Oakland. And hopefully we can kind of, you know, dispel some of these myths and talk about what's really going on. So the East Oakland Collective, we do racial and economic equity work in beloved Deep East Oakland. And for us, that includes everything from resource distribution. So getting the supplies and the food that people need to thrive, all the way to making sure that our unhoused folks are fed, supported, and we do, you know, advocacy and organizing around housing for the unhoused. And we even now have dived into homelessness prevention, which is also equally as important. So what we're seeing is, you know, really since the pandemic, the high cost of living, you know, so people are not being able, people can't afford. People can't afford to live in Oakland. People can't afford to eat, you know, in Oakland. And when those social economic impacts are hit, then it does correlate to the increase in crime. So no one is denying that crime has not increased, and particularly in certain areas, you know, bipping has increased. You know, like, you know, I get bipped at least 3 times a year. You know, I kind of like now keep my car parked at home, you know, so, and take public transportation just so that, you know, I can't afford to get my window replaced all the time. We have witnessed it. We've seen, you know, a lot of videos on the news all the way to, you know, on people's personal social medias of crime, you know, happening live, you know. So that is a fact. You know, I was looking at the police data like a few weeks back, and, you know, some of these lower level like offenses, crime has increased. But what we see is how the media is misconstruing it, how the media is spinning it, that like Oakland is the epicenter, you know, of crime. And a lot of cities across the nation are experiencing this, you know, because people are hungry. You know, people are turning to other means to be able to, you know, survive. Now, you know, of course, we're not okay with those means, but what that signifies is to us is that what are the leaders, what is the leadership in Oakland doing to address the root causes? You know, we have to address housing. We have to address food insecurity. You know, we have to address public safety. We have to address, you know, education. We have to address access to health care, you know, so that we can prevent people. We have to address, you know, employment and jobs. You know, we have to address, you know, people need to be paid a living wage, if not more, so that they can make ends meet and don't have to resort to bipping.
Based on the people that you work with and the people, your clients and the community that you work within, can you talk a little bit about what they're facing and how they got to the point where the economy collapsed on them? Because I'm sure that everybody is not a victim of smash and grab or a victim of they're getting their car broken, which we're calling bipping. What kind of things are leading people to become homeless in Oakland and San Francisco?
So homelessness really exploded in Oakland in around like 2016, 2017 years. And we saw a, we're seeing a new wave of homelessness. We're not seeing people who are chronically homeless, you know, been homeless at least, you know, 10, 20 years, you know, like they're a lot of their adult life and are like mentally ill and stuff like that. And the system has perhaps failed them and, you know, put them out into the streets. We're seeing people who are able-bodied, you know, can work, lost employment, and then spirals into homelessness. And you combine that with trauma. You know, a lot of folks have faced a lot of trauma in their life and then didn't have the right resources, the right tools and resources to equip them with their mental and emotional tools, you know, to navigate that, end up spiraling into homelessness. You know, for as many people that are unhoused right now in Oakland, there's that many stories of how they got there and then that many different solutions needed, you know, to help get them out. And then what we're also seeing is the longer people are on the street, you know, the more people do succumb to addiction. The more impact living on the streets has, you know, with your mental and emotional state that could drive you to having, like, you know, mental issues. So a lot of people had housing, you know, lost housing, and are trying to get back into housing. People have Section 8 vouchers. You know, people have other types are in housing programs. They have case managers, but there's not enough available housing out there that is deeply affordable and that will take, you know, there's not a lot of landlords too much anymore that will take Section 8, like, you know, back in the days. Back in the days, it felt like everybody had Section 8, and there were landlords out there that were willing to take it. Now, when landlords can get market rate income, you know, off of their property, they're going to go for the market rate over that person with a subsidized housing voucher. Because, like, I have unhoused folks who are, like, seniors, you know, and they could not get housing. They've looked all over the place, and they're being told you need to be shipped out somewhere else. You know, you can go to L.A., you can go to Modesto, you can go even out of state, maybe even transfer your housing voucher. But when someone has loved ones in an ecosystem and a support system in Oakland, why would they leave if they had no support system in Modesto or L.A. or Texas, you know? So kind of like that's what, like, people are experiencing. So where East Oakland Collective and, like, a lot of our partner community organizations come in is, where we help, you know, try to get them into housing is always better. It always seems like the process is able to move faster if they have an advocate working with them, and that we're using our network too to get people into housing, to help people with housing applications. Now we are very excited to be partnering with Bay Area Community Services to prevent homelessness. And then if someone is behind in rent, if they're behind in their utility bills, you know, then we are partnering to get them assistance, to get that paid. Also, if they identified new housing and they need help with the security deposit, you know, this program, Keep People Housed, is helping with that as well. So we have to look at it from both ends, giving people that boost to get off the street and then preventing more of us from spiraling into homelessness.
What do you think that city government needs to do? We are nearing the fact that we have been in a homeless crisis, a homeless epidemic for almost 10 years in Oakland. I mean, it's always been an explosion of homelessness, but it's been like a super explosion. What do you think city government needs to do? And what do you think that just the listeners can do to, you know, try to aid some of these houseless people, but also put pressure on the government?
The government needs to prioritize deeply affordable housing. You know, we know deeply affordable housing is not sexy. It's not profitable. So if you have all of these new units in the works and they have 200 or more or whatever, even 100, no matter how much, like, housing is in there, we need more units to be deeply affordable. So not just 5 units out of 100, you know, 10 units out of 200 you know, we need almost half, if not more, of those units, you know, being deeply affordable. We need to look at alternative housing options. So all the powers that be who can pass measures, who can, you know, maybe offer some incentives, some tax relief to build alternative housing. That's like the modular container housing. That's tiny homes. There are several like tiny home projects in Oakland that are doing well. And I think some of them are city supported, but we need more funding, you know, designated by city council, the mayor, the governor, you know, you keep going to be designated to alternative housing projects. So not just the tough sheds, which are temporary, but more 3 to 5 year housing options to help stabilize people. Because what you also can't do is put people in housing, leave them there, and be like, bye. You know, people need wraparound services, you know, and so people need the mental health services. They need the addiction services. They need financial literacy. You know, they need help with, if need be, education, job training, workforce development and placement, you know, so that after a certain period, you know, people can hopefully, they don't need the subsidies, you know, anymore. I think the goal should always be to sustain our folks, you know, and get them to self-sufficiency. And that's not what the government, you know, is doing.
Can you talk a little bit about East Oakland Collective's work? I know you have a Feed the Hood coming up, a Feed the Hood program coming up. Can you tell the people a little bit about what that is, as well as how they could be a part of it or benefit from it?
Yeah, so one of my most favorite programs, you know, of East Oakland Collective, and something that's near and dear to all our hearts is, you know, food is a basic human right. So, and while we're working on housing, while we're looking on the short, mid, and long-term options to stabilize folks who are on the street, the least we can do is provide them with food and supplies. So EOC, we hold a program called Feed the Hood. We do it once a quarter because it's kind of a massive feat. But we bring about 100, 150 volunteers together on a Saturday morning, and we make up to 2,000 bag lunches, countless number of hygiene kits. The next Feed the Hood is Saturday, February 24th, 9 a.m. start time at EOC's office on 78th and MacArthur. Volunteers are required to register because we kind of, you know, have to keep our numbers at a decent amount of volunteers. Before the pandemic, we used to have like 250 volunteers show up, but due to the pandemic and safety, we want to make sure, you know, we have a comfortable number of volunteers. So we kind of cap it at like 100, 125. But it's an excellent way for families, for school groups, church groups, you know, any type of club organization. If you want to, or just yourself, you want to volunteer, you can go to our website, www.eastoaklandcollective.com, and go to the Feed the Hood webpage or even our website calendar and find out more details and register to volunteer. We also take donations of, you know, hygiene supplies, whether it be rolls of toilet tissue, you know, all the way to toothbrushes and toothpaste. And that definitely is valuable to put in our hygiene kits. It's also kind of like the most expensive stuff, the stuff that we take for granted, you know. So a person on the street who both doesn't have the income and doesn't even have the means of transportation to kind of like get to the store when they want to and when they're in need of stuff, you know, it's always good for us to be able to, you know, provide that bag. It goes, you know, the hygiene kits and the supply kits go a long way in addition to the food.
Well, I want to thank you. You told us where Feed the Hood is at, but do you have an online presence?
Yes, we do. We are on Instagram at East Oakland Collective. We are also on X, formerly known as Twitter, also believe at East Oakland Collective if you search for it. We have a Facebook page, and then we have a private Facebook group if you would like to join that. And we kind of dive deeper into EOC events as well as other community events and issues going on around the community.
Well, thank you, Ms. Candace Elder, who is the executive director and founder of East Oakland Collective. Thank you for coming on the Block Report with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Peace.
Awesome.